Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to you all joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, May 7th, 2017, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. With me in studio is Joseph Humrick, and we are here to chat with Teresa Bulander and Nicole Infinity regarding the exciting and fun Camp Quest North. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interactions with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is live, and you can always email and tweet us while you're listening. I do have one very quick announcement. We have an update on one of our previous guests from March 5th, Jason Rittenauer. Unfortunately, he passed away last week, and we'll have his You Caring site up on the Minnesota Atheist Facebook for anybody who's interested in more details. So our thoughts are with his family and friends. So with that out of the way, Joseph, Teresa, and Nicole, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thank you, Hertzy, and good morning to our listeners. Our guests this morning are Nicole Infinity, the camp coordinator of Camp Quest North, and Teresa Bulander, the current chair of Camp Quest North. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am proud to say that I have a history of what was originally Camp Quest of Minnesota. I'm one of the founding members of Camp Quest and served consecutively on the board for its first 10 years. Good morning, Teresa and Nicole. I wonder if you two could get us started by telling us a bit about Camp Quest and for the benefit of our listeners.
Yeah, so the camp was originally started in Ohio, and it was started in 1997 approximately, the organization was, and in 2003 and 2004, Camp Quest Minnesota began with a few folks here who were interested in starting a secular overnight summer camp. And since then, we had 12 campers that first year approximately, and right now, this year, our goal is 150. Last year, we had 120 participate in camp, 120 kiddos. So we're doing well. We're moving into Iowa this year. We have 2 weeks in Minnesota and 1 week in Iowa. So that's kind of the history.
Could you tell me a little bit about Camp Quest? How long is a session? How many sessions do you have? Could you compare it to, say, a YMCA summer camp or something else that maybe our listeners would be more familiar with?
Yeah, so our week-long summer camp options this year in Minnesota, it will be from July 16th, which is a Sunday, through July 22nd, which is a Saturday, and then the next session will be from July 23rd through July 29th. And then Iowa will be August 6th through August 12th for campers. And really, what I often tell people is that the camp is for the kiddos of grown-ups who are secular, atheist, agnostic, Unitarian, humanist, any of those labels that we give ourselves as grown-ups. And then the campers really are coming to learn critical thinking, how to be good people without a religion or without a god. We have lots of open discussion, but we also have lots of traditional summer camp things that make summer camp great and help kids grow to be leaders and better people. Things like canoeing and overnights and campfires and songs.
Are there s'mores?
There are s'mores, yep. And we even have vegetarian and vegan s'mores and gluten-free s'mores because we have lots of dietary needs. So we're open to anyone. We have lots of kids from all different backgrounds. You know, lots of kids whose one parent is Christian or Muslim and the other parent is secular. We also have kids who consider themselves Christians who come just to check it out and get an understanding of where we're all coming from.
So how many kids typically in a one-week session and how many support and counselors? Teresa, do you know? Nicole?
Sorry. We have about 60 campers each session. Our Iowa session, our goal is about 30 campers this year because it's our first year.
Wow. And they're housed in
Yeah, so we have really great cabins here in Minnesota. they hold 10 campers and 4 counselors. Our ratio is about 2.5 campers to every counselor, which is really, it's quite high, and it fits with the ACA accreditation guidelines, although we're not currently yet ACA accredited. So we're following all those guidelines. We're working towards that. And we have a CIT program as well. So we have 4 CITs each session.
So if parents wanted to send a kid to camp for a week, what are the ages? What's the age range of a camper?
Yeah, so campers can be anywhere from 8 to 17. We block out the cabins. We have 6 cabins, and so there are 3 guys' cabins and 3 girls' cabins, and they're broken up pretty much by elementary ages in one cabin, middle schoolers are in the next cabin, and high schoolers are in the oldest cabin. And so there is some time during the day to interact between those age groups. I know that's always a concern for parents, you know, how much influence are the older kids going to have on my younger camper? I'm worrying about that a little bit. But there's lots of times, you know, the theme-based instruction that we do that's hands-on active learning, that's done within the age group. So the elementary kids are together so that the curriculum can be differentiated for those different campers.
Is it pretty much an even distribution across the ages? Are there lots and lots of little kids and just a few teenagers, or how does it seem to go?
For the most part, it really does break down pretty evenly most years. It depends on the session, but for the most part, we have a pretty even distribution.
Hmm. Are you able to accommodate kids with special needs?
Yes, to a certain extent. So we have, because of our large counselor pool that we work with, we have lots of attention that we can give to campers who need a little bit more help. We do some training ahead of time as well, both online and in person, for helping kiddos who are having a difficult time. So we have lots of kiddos who are on the autism spectrum. We have lots of kiddos who have, you know, are labeled as ADHD, etc. So, yeah.
I like this new vocabulary word that I'm going to now incorporate, kiddos. So could you take us through a typical day for a camper? Any special meal considerations sometimes, or do you have a fairly structured day? We're going to do this probably from like 10 to 11 or something like that.
So we have a pretty structured day. We found that structure helps kids, you know, explore in their own ways within an activity and really, you know, move themselves out of their comfort zone a little bit to really try out all the different activities in their own way at their own level. And so we start every morning with, you know, we wake up in the cabins, we chat amongst ourselves, get ready to go, and then we head down to breakfast and we all eat breakfast together. You can sit with anyone you want at mealtimes. And then we do morning movement, which is a hike, or you can choose to dance or do yoga in the morning, just to get ourselves up and moving and going in the morning. And then we usually head into either on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's theme-based activities. Every year we choose a different theme for camp, and this year it's illumination. So we're going to be talking about the science of light, but also, you know, how different religions use light, the philosophical ideas such as the light side and the dark side. What else are we going to be talking about?
We're doing light and living things, and talk about bioluminescence and all sorts of fun glow-in-the-dark things. And I think that's what makes our programming really rich and very appealing, is that even though there are things about camp that stay the same every year, there's this new theme that then brings a new adventure to every year. So there's quite a bit of, as a parent and as someone who came out of education, the appeal of the amount of planning that goes into this has always been really strong for me.
So I have a quick question. You were talking about the light side and the dark side. Will there be lightsabers?
So we're going to definitely have some glow sticks. We're going to have glow-in-the-dark paints as some activities. We're going to make light lanterns. Lots of arts and crafts go into these themes, as well as science and humanities. So we try to really get a wide range of activities that go into each theme each year.
I'm just saying lightsabers.
Well, you can come and be a counselor, Hertzie.
And like everybody else these days, do you have a web presence?
We absolutely do, yeah. And we're working on renovating our website currently, but our website right now is cqnorthcentral.org, and you can find lots of information and register online. We always need counselors. We usually fill up for campers, but of course we always need campers too. And so if you're interested, there are still some spaces in week one of Camp Quest Minnesota and, of course, in Iowa because we're just getting started there. So, and we always need fundraising support because we are a nonprofit and we are mostly volunteer-run at this point still.
Indeed. You are a 501c3 nonprofit, correct?
Yes.
And no discrimination of any kind, and we're formed as a 501c3 after proof of broad community support and all those things.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, we have so many different counselors who come to us, you know, from age range from just moving out of the CIT program at our own camp to becoming counselors themselves.
All right. Well, with that, please stay with us during the break. We'll return to Atheist Talk with our guests, Teresa Bulander and Nicole Infinity. I'm Hertzie Hertz here with Joseph Homerick, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, here with Joseph Homerick. Today's guests are Teresa Bulander and Nicole Infinity from Camp Quest North. Before we get back, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. So stick around, and remember, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Teresa and Nicole, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. We do have a couple of announcements here. Our donors of the week are the wonderful participants at the Flying Spaghetti Monster. May he touch you with his noodly goodness. And for those who gave at the Atheist Talk link at giveminnesota.org, thank you to you all, and hope to see you next time we have a fifth Sunday. We do have a couple events to highlight. Today is the May Day, in which the Minnesota Atheists will be marching, and then we'll also, I believe, have a booth. Come check us out at the May Day celebration. You can find that on our meetup site. We also today have a cucumbers brunch following the show. I believe that starts at about 10:30. So if you are free and want to talk about the show, meet us there. And then, of course, we have our Saints game, which is now up on our Facebook. So check that out. That's not until August, but we'll probably be promoting that for the next few months. So with that out of the way, Teresa, Nicole, Joseph, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thank you, Hertzie, and welcome back to our guests, Teresa Bulander and Nicole Infinity, the chair and camp coordinator, respectively, of Camp Quest North. In the first segment, we talked a lot about camp, the activities, things we can expect there. For a bit of background and fun, maybe we could turn to our guest history with Camp Quest North. Nicole, could you share how you became involved?
So I found out about Camp Quest because I'm an educator, and I went to the Minnesota Education Conference, and there was a booth there, and I found out that you could volunteer for a week during the summer, and I had summers off, so I thought that would be a perfect way to spend a week of summer, and that was in 2009, and I've just been doing it ever since. And, you know, in 2009, we had 24 campers, and we've just, like I said, we just keep growing, and it's really fun to see that continue and to see more and more young people get involved and more counselors get involved.
My husband and I became familiar with Camp Quest Minnesota through a science blog that my husband had been following, and my son was too young to attend at the time that we heard about it, so we sort of tabled the idea and remembered it quite a few years later, and my son was able to attend the first year when Camp Quest Minnesota expanded to two sessions. And soon thereafter, I met some people who asked me if I'd be interested in helping out on the board, and so I said sure, and now I have two children attending camp, and I have been a counselor as well, which was great fun, and this will be my third year on the board.
So, Teresa, you just sort of jumped right to the front, huh? You became chair?
No. No. I was involved with the board for a while, and we just did some, we had some people step down because of life factors, and there was great excitement coming from everybody on the board, and we reconfigured and regrouped because life happens. And so, you know, I probably would have liked a few more years before I took the chair position, but you know what? It's been wonderful. So,
I have somewhat of a history that I would like to share. I was one of the founding members of what we at the time called Camp Quest of Minnesota. I will accept the statistic that it started back in 1997. It's been a long time, but I remember one day I got a phone call from August Berkshire, who was at the time, I believe, the president of Minnesota Atheist. And he said to me something on the order of, we are going to form a secular summer camp for kids. And we have a wonderful person named Rick Rohr, who has a background in camping and in administering camps and that sort of thing. So this is pretty much a done deal. And we're going to need a few signatures on a piece of paper to form a board. And I said, I'm not really sure. And he said, oh, please, it's just a signature. And I said, oh, okay. And then a few days later, I got a phone call from August telling where and when to meet, that we were going to have a first meeting of Camp Quest. And so I showed up, and it was a full-blown meeting. There were, I believe, six or seven board members, original board members, and starting then, I attended a board meeting once a month for 10 years. I was on the board for 10 years. And our first group of folks, if I remember correctly, we were all a bunch of males in our 30s and 40s, one young man who was still in college in his 20s. And by the time I had resigned from the board about 10 years later, I believe there were 14 members of the board. They were pretty evenly split between men and women, and I think the average age was probably in the mid-20s, and there was a lot of energy on the board, and it was just a wonderful thing for me to watch over the years. When we first started out, as you mentioned, we had, I think, something less than a dozen campers, and then the next year we had a few more and a few more. And then we finally got to the point where we were filling a camp session. It was only 1 week long. And then we had to have plans to open up for a second week. And by the time, you know, it just kept growing from year to year. And it was just a wonderful experience. Nicole, we had some sort of overlap, right? How many years?
Oh, I think probably 3 or 4 years overlap, yeah.
And sure. And I was on the original board member. I was the only person with a parent, as I remember. My daughter is now 17. And do you guys know, Teresa or Nicole, how many parents are currently on the board?
We have at least 4: 2 with current campers and 2 with up and coming campers who are not quite. That's how many I count right away. Can you think of more, Nicole? Out of the
So I think we have 3 with campers currently.
3. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's and right. Then you're two, right. 2 or 3 really with up and coming campers.
Yep. And I want to shamelessly plug in every segment how we can get involved with Camp Quest. And so, Teresa and Nicole, we have a web presence. You can do everything there. Is that correct?
Yes. So it's www.cqnorthcentral.org. And you can go there to register to be a camper, register to be a counselor, and also to donate money.
If one wishes to be a counselor, are there background checks and things like that?
Absolutely. So we do reference checks thoroughly. We have them sign a notarized consent form so that we know that they are who they say they are. And then we also do background checks, both national and state.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Excuse me. We'll return with our guests, Teresa Buhlander and Nicole Infinity, right after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Hertzy Hertz here with Joseph Komrick, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz, in studio today with Joseph Homrick, and we're having what I would definitely classify as a wonderful conversation with Teresa Buhlander and Nicole Infinity from Camp Quest North. Before we continue this conversation, which will be our final segment with Teresa and Nicole, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. It's important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airways and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists, the Humanists of Minnesota, and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know you appreciate the support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by a dedicated group of volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in the podcast form. Personally, I use this show to talk to amazing people in our community like Nicole and Teresa. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we couldn't do this show without you, so we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. As always, check out Minnesota Atheist websites for podcasts, for previous podcast programs. You can also browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar for upcoming events. We always have a ton of activities going on around the Twin Cities and outlying suburbs. If you'd like to get involved, check out the website and sign up for the Atheist Weekly email. The AWE will tell you when the Godless Gamers meet. We'll help you find an agnostic AA group or a local book club, and even lets you know what speakers Minnesota Atheists have lined up. It's a great tool to stay connected with the community. If you enjoy this show and all that Minnesota Atheists has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists while you're on the website. Your support helps better serve us. With all that relevant and very useful information out of the way, let's get back to the conversation with Teresa Buhlander and Nicole Infinity.
Welcome back to our listeners and to our guests, Teresa Buhlander and Nicole Infinity, the chair and camp coordinators of Camp Quest North, respectively. Teresa and Nicole, could you share perhaps some of your happiest surprises or your greatest gratitudes or similar experiences since joining Camp Quest North?
I think for me, it's definitely been seeing the impact it has on my two children who are campers, particularly that they seem to be building a real community with other campers, that particularly as they get older and they do things like texting on their phones, they still keep in contact with other campers. They support each other throughout the year, and I find that really just really heartwarming, and it makes me so happy to know that they continue that support and contact with other campers throughout the year until they get to see each other again the next year.
Nicole?
Yeah, for me, it's that the campers all come from such different places. You know, we have only about 10% of our campers who come from Minneapolis and St. Paul, and the rest of our campers, you know, about 110 of them came from outstate Minnesota or, you know, some places in North Dakota or Wisconsin, South Dakota, Iowa. And it's just amazing to me to see all these people from so many different places come together and form those communities. And then I'm just so thankful for all the sharing that they give. You know, during the discussions, those kids really give a lot of themselves and are bright and thoughtful and critical of their worlds, and I'm just amazed every time I sit in one of those discussions.
And I hope our listeners will indulge me sharing my experience as well in my 10 years on the board, because there was certainly one thing that stood out for me, And that was that we would occasionally get letters and emails from the kids or their parents, and a good number of them would have content similar to the following. A parent would write in and say, I live in outstate Minnesota. We are in kind of a rural area, and my son or daughter goes to a school, and there are lots of very religious kids who tend to pick on them because, for whatever reason, my son or daughter seems to have been born with the science gene turned on, and they're very critical thinkers, and they spend a lot of their day feeling very separate and very apart from their peers and people that they meet. But once a year, they get to spend a week with a whole bunch of kids who are very much like them. And it was just wonderful over the years. A lot of our tasks as board members were very administrative, filling out paperwork, filing things with the state of Minnesota and whatnot. And it was perhaps the most wonderful and memorable experience for me as a board member. And as a parent myself, it was wonderful to know that we were having such a nice impact on the life of a child. Let's talk, if we can, now about growth, because I know that when I was part of the board, it was called Camp Quest of Minnesota, and now it's being rebranded as Camp Quest North, and I'm happy to learn this morning that there is a reason for that. Nicole, can you enlighten us?
Yeah, so like I was talking about before, we started, you know, when those lovely people started Camp Quest of Minnesota in 2004 approximately. There are about 12 campers, and every year we've seen pretty intensive growth. By the time I started, like I said, it was 2009, and we had 24 campers. The next year it was 36, 48, 60, and then we were filling the camp. We moved to 2 weeks in Minnesota, and then last year we had a wait list again, and we had over 120 campers. And so with that wait list, we knew that we needed to continue moving. So our region, set out by Camp Quest National, our parent organization, is the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota. So our first step is to move into Iowa. So we are expanding there with a week in August, from August 6th to August 12th. And we have a few dedicated counselors who have always come from Iowa for us, and they are really helping get that camp moving. We are, and this is just necessary at this point, we already have a wait list for week two this year. We'll probably have a wait list for week one as well, and so we're hoping that we can get all those campers into camp this year by getting some folks into Iowa and growing that Iowa location. And then really next on the line within the next couple of years, we're looking at Madison, because we also have a strong counselor base there, and we know that we have a free-thinking community in that area. And we just want to keep moving forward. The parents are showing us that there's a need for this, that they want this, and that they appreciate what we're doing. And we just want to keep giving those kids the opportunities to do that.
Not to put anyone on the spot, but do you guys have any current statistics about the growth nationwide of Camp Quest? Because this is not a single camp and organization, correct?
No, there are multiple locations across the nation, and Camp Quest National has given us direction, as Nicole alluded to, about sort of which district we should be focusing on for each Camp Quest board, each local affiliate. And so there are a number of affiliates looking at new camp locations this year as well. Nicole might have the act. Do you have the number off the top of your head of total national locations?
So I believe there are 13 current locations, and some of those are within the same region. So I think there are about 9 regions with 13 locations total. There might be 14 now with Iowa, actually. Camp Quest West, for example, has 3 weeks as well. They're the only other one with 3 weeks, and they have 2 in Northern California and then 1 in Southern California this year, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then several others are growing. The goal overall is that by 2020, we have 2,000 campers nationwide. So right now, the last I checked, we had about 1,200 campers. So we're definitely on track. We keep growing. You know, if we're going to add another 30 this year, hopefully, and keep moving forward, I think we can make it as a national organization.
Any international presence? Any in Canada or other places other than the United States?
There are. They're not run by our national organization, but there are several Camp Quest locations, to my knowledge, in Canada and then in Europe as well.
Hmm. Okay. So let's get back maybe to how one can become involved in Camp Quest. Through the website, I take it, is the first porthole. Get in contact with the board, and we can participate in Camp Quest. How?
There are many ways to participate and be involved with Camp Quest North. You can volunteer as a counselor at our summer camp sessions. You can volunteer to work on the board with us, working to grow carefully and thoughtfully and sustainably. There are ways to fulfill our Amazon wish list for supplies for camp. I feel a great excitement in the community right now about not taking for granted the opportunities to develop rational inquiry and critical thinking. And so I'm pretty excited about the support I'm starting to feel from a lot of people in the community. Nicole, did you want to add any other opportunities?
Yeah, I really just want to push that we always need counselors, and we're working on, you know, paying some of those leadership positions this year, and we're moving into, you know, as we grow sustainably, we are looking towards how can we support our counselors and help them keep returning and help them be able to keep returning to our camp to make camp as strong as it is. And then the Amazon wish list is a great opportunity to see what we actually need for camp and to purchase those items. They're automatically sent to our location. It's really simple for you. It's amazing for us. It helps us out so much. And I know that sometimes it's easier than just donating some money, although we need that too. But so you can actually have some vested interest in those activities and what we're doing.
So with this Amazon, do you guys have like an engraver that you can put the person's name on it?
I wish. We'll work on that. But we're working on...
We'll put that on the wish list.
Yeah, right.
And when you order from Amazon, if you do the Amazon smile and indicate Camp Quest Minnesota... I know that my husband and I do that so that whenever we're ordering from Amazon, we make sure to do it through our Smile account, and that gives a little bit of the proceeds to Camp Quest North, Camp Quest Minnesota.
Yep, so when you're ordering anything, even if it's mm-hmm. anything for yourself,
cat
you can
litter,
also do that.
Cat food.
Yep.
I do a lot of that, and actually all of that's through the Camp Quest Smile.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have you had any feedback on the growing of connections in the Free Thought community through Camp Quest? I imagine that a bunch of parents and kids getting together through this, has that helped anyone develop connections?
Absolutely. So I know, you know, like Teresa was talking about, I know that our older campers especially make connections throughout the year. You know, that lots of them are not able to meet during the year, but they make connections online and over the phone. And then lots of those parents also find great resources too. They say that their kids come back and they are talking about so many different amazing things, and they make connections with other parents that way and create lifelong friendships. A lot of our campers become CITs, which is the counselor in training, and then they become counselors. And so that creates even more of that community.
Okay. So to close out our program, Nicole, could you quickly summarize again for our listeners how to get in touch, how to get started?
Yes. Yeah, so you can visit our website at www.cqnorthcentral.org. Or you can email us at cqnorthcentral@gmail.com with any questions.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. And the podcast show will be up on our radio page as soon as we're able. Have a wonderful Sunday. And remember to stick through the brief commercial break for American Atheist Viewpoints.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, May 7th, 2017. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week, Thursday, saw a lot of activity, a very busy week on a lot of fronts. The House Republicans voted to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act with their own bill called the American Health Care Act. This is something that I think a lot of us have been following and paying attention to. I don't want to go in too deep on that. I just wanted to make sure that everyone is aware of that and remind everyone that if you are engaging on these issues, if this is important to you, talk to your members of Congress, talk to your local representatives, talk to your state representatives as well. Make sure that they know that this is an issue you care about, and talk to them as an atheist. Talk about these issues and let them know that it's not just, you know, faith leaders who have concerns about things or faith groups that are coming to them with their concerns. They need to know that we're engaged with this process as well, and that's an important component of the activism that we do. So I just wanted to highlight that very briefly before I talk about the thing that a lot of us in church-state separation world were following and waiting for, which is on Thursday, the president signed an executive order that was, as he said, designed to promote free speech and religious freedom. This is an executive order that we've anticipated for quite some time. Initial leaked text of it came out back in February, and it seemed at the time to be pretty much the worst case scenario with respect to creating huge loopholes for federal employees, for government employees to disregard civil rights rules and equal protection, deny service to LGBT people on the basis of their religious beliefs. But this is not what this particular executive order seems to do. This executive order that Donald Trump signed on Thursday is, I don't want to call it watered down, but it's rather inconsistent with the rhetoric that he had, or the rhetoric that he laid out during his speech, even during his remarks about the executive order. So during his remarks, he said that religious groups were being muzzled. He said that the people couldn't talk about issues of public importance, which is completely incorrect. He said that the government bullies and silences people of faith. It's simply inaccurate to say these things. It's just not true that pastors and religious groups aren't allowed to comment on issues of political importance. It's absolutely what they do. It's something that is not prohibited under the Johnson Amendment. It's something that all 501c3 charities, which is the portion of the tax code that churches fall under. It's something we do. We're absolutely allowed to comment on these things. What we're not allowed to do, and what 90% of evangelical pastors don't want to be able to do, is endorse candidates. And that's what the law says. And an executive order can't overturn that. And so it's unclear exactly what this religious freedom in, you know, air quotes, it's unclear exactly what this does. The first section of it says, I mean, this is a very short executive order. It's less than 2 pages. The first section of it just basically says that it's the policy of the Trump administration to care about religious freedom and free speech. That's it. The second part says deals with respecting religious and political speech, and says that the Department of Treasury, namely the IRS, can't take adverse action against individuals, houses of worship, or any religious organizations on the basis, and I'm quoting here, on the basis that such individual or organization speaks or has spoken about moral or political issues from a religious perspective. That's not what the Johnson Amendment prohibits. This has never been an issue. This is already allowed. This is basically restating something that is already there. And then the third section has to deal with conscious, quote-unquote, protections with respect to the Affordable Care Act. So this deals with the contraception mandate, and it says that, and this is sort of the nothing burger of this section, it says that the Secretary of Treasury, Labor, and Health and Human Services shall consider issuing amended regulations consistent with applicable law to address conscience-based objections. So it doesn't direct them to do so, it just says they should consider doing it. So we really don't know yet what exactly the impact of this executive order is going to be, because in a vacuum, it doesn't seem to do much. there are obviously concerns here. The fact that this rule or this executive order only targets religious organizations, we're going to have to test this. We're going to have to see exactly what happens. And so our legal team is looking at this. I know the legal teams for other atheist organizations are looking at this. I believe that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has already filed a lawsuit. We have put out a statement saying that, we're going to look at this, but if we see that there's an issue here, we're going to file a lawsuit. The ACLU, however, looked at it and said, wow, this really doesn't do much. Looks like a big old photo op. So the ACLU has said that they're not going to file a lawsuit on this. But we need to be clear here. The purpose of the action, the purpose of this executive order is it could not be more clear. It is designed to prop up a small religious group, a small number of religious leaders who, don't like that they have to play by the same rules as everyone else. And again, I mentioned this, a survey of evangelical pastors asked them, hey, do you want to participate in politics? Do you want to be able to endorse people from the pulpit? 89% of them said they did not. So the people who are behind this are people like Robert Jeffress, people like Franklin Graham, people like Jerry Falwell Jr. These are the people pushing this. And let's be clear, those people endorsed Donald Trump during the campaign. So this notion that religious leaders are somehow muzzled in any way, that they're prevented from speaking out on these issues, is objectively false, because the people who are pushing this most strongly endorsed Donald Trump and speak out in politics. There's not a week that goes by where Robert Jeffress isn't on Fox News talking about politics. So it's simply untrue to say that this is a problem. This is a solution looking for a problem that just doesn't exist. So we need to keep following. We're going to keep looking at this. We're going to keep an eye on what's going on. We're going to evaluate our options moving forward. But, this is the sort of thing that where Donald Trump's rhetoric and the rhetoric around this issue doesn't match what the law actually says, or what, in this case, the executive order actually says. They ran into this during the travel ban as well, where his rhetoric undercut them in the court. So the order might seem to be not a big deal, or it might seem to be constitutionally permissible, and I'm not even sure if that's the case, but the rhetoric behind it undercuts any legal standing because their intent is very clear. So that's what we're looking at right now. We'll keep you informed. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. If you'd like to support our legal work, please visit www.atheists.org/donate, and you can support our legal efforts. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.